Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. And it is a blessing to have faith to believe no matter what, God will supply. Amen. He'll provide whatever our needs would be. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And Wednesday nights we've been going through and teaching on the life of the Apostle Peter. Seeing things through the eyes of Peter during the time Christ walked on the face of the earth till his ascension into heaven. And we studied all that. That's in the Gospels there. And what a blessing it was to see just how Jesus discipled the Apostle Peter. And he discipled him for the purpose that we're now studying in the life of Peter, because it's now the apostolic age, and Peter is now representing Christ in the apostolic age. And we know this was the book of Acts reveals the apostolic age as a transitional period of time. It's in between the Old Testament and the New Testament time. It's part of the church age. It's the beginning of the church age as Christ established his church. And then, of course, as he ascended, then the apostles then would take on the church that Jesus Christ was established, and then would continue to see the churches be established throughout not only the apostolic age, but then after the Word of God was completed throughout the New Testament church age now for some 2,000 years. So we look here in chapter 3, and the Jews had just witnessed the first apostolic miracle from Peter as he healed the lame man. And now the lame man is running around and praising God, and all the people around are seeing this man that had been a beggar now running around praising God, healed from, of course, he had been lame from his birth, and now he is excited about what God had done for him and giving him, not silver and gold, as Peter said, but something much more important, a relationship with Jesus Christ, which actually brought a healing upon this man's physical body. And then from that time, we find that Peter then is now using this as an opportunity to represent Christ, and he preaches now the second message to the unbelieving Jews there at this time. And we studied the half of the message there, verse 12 down to verse 19. Now we're looking at the second half of the message that Peter is preaching here, verses 19. We're going to reread that and go all the way down to the end of the chapter in verse 26, okay? And so if you're able to stand tonight, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. You at home, stand up if you will, if you can, and get your Bibles out, read right along with us, and then we're going to preach this passage of Scripture to you tonight. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these things, of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, it is a blessing to be able to just put all the world's problems and all of our situations that we're facing just from out of our minds and focus on the truths of your word. I just pray for all that are here assembled together tonight and all that are even at home and are watching via live stream. I pray for each one, Lord God, that you would just help us to just sense your presence and to be able to receive the truths that you have for us from this passage of Scripture. Pray that you'd empower the preaching and the teaching of your word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we find Peter's message here, his conclusion of the message that he had presented to those after the healing of this lame man. And he was preaching his message to the unbelieving Jews. And the message was that everyone, including the Jews, must repent and be converted to go to heaven. Now, his whole message from verse 12 all the way down, that's what he is presenting to them. He presented Christ and how that they had crucified him. They crucified their Messiah. And in verse 19, he says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out." The sins is going to take a person to a devil's hell if they are not been, if they've not forgiven, if they're not washed, if they're not cleansed. Be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so what he was telling them then is exactly what the world needs to hear today, and that is stop being anti-Christ. Even though he revealed that they crucified Christ, but now that they are aware of who Jesus was, that he was truly the Messiah, and that's what he's getting across, and that's what we need to understand, that Jesus, who walked on the face of the earth some 2,000 years ago, who established New Testament Christianity, is the Messiah. Amen. He's God. Amen. He came to this world with a message that every man, woman, and child needed to hear. And so we need to stop being anti-Christ. They were anti-Christ when they rejected him and had him cried out to crucify him. We're anti-Christ when we reject what he taught us, what he brought to us, which is the New Testament Bible. When you go opposite any of the teachings of the Word of God, you are anti-Christ. Because he brought to us the fulfillment of the Old Testament and established a new covenant, which is from the Bible, which is Christianity, or if you will, Christ's likeness. So we need to stop being anti-Christ and start living like and according to the words of Jesus Christ. The example, first and foremost, that he gave to us, and then the words which follow his example to be a Christian, to be Christ-like. And that's what a Christian is supposed to be, is someone who is Christ-like. And so we need to think about that today. Look at the laws that are being passed and look around at the way people are living their lives, and they're living their lives as anti-Christ if they are going opposite the teachings of Christ, even in religion. And that he was speaking to a religious mindset of the Jews who didn't want to give up on the religion of their faith of the Old Testament and did not want to listen to the fulfillment had come. And this was the fulfillment, what Peter was getting across to them. And so we need to start living like Christ as he gave us the example in his life, which is to be called a Christian, someone who is Christ-like. And so here we find in verse 19 that they needed to be converted and repent in order to be converted, repent of what I believe in being anti-Christ, be converted to being pro-Christ. Amen. And he said after that, your sins are going to be blotted out when you turn to Christ, when the times of the refreshing. Now they're forgiven, but in order to get to heaven, you can't have any sin. No sin is going to be entering into heaven. They have to be blotted out. They have to be put under the blood of Jesus Christ. And once your sins are put under the blood of Christ, they're cast as far as the east is from the west. And now you are ready to enter into heaven at the end of your life on earth. And he says, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. It's going to be a hallelujah time. That word refreshing is stimulating. I love that. Now we have to figure out, what's he talking about there when he says the time of refreshing shall come? Well, it's going to be a stimulating time. It's going to be a hallelujah time. It's going to be a time that heaven and earth will rejoice over. Those that are still on earth and those that have gone on to be with the Lord through death throughout this New Testament church age as well as the Old Testament. And are now in that heavenly grandstand, cheering on the work of Christ on earth. That's any believer that has died in Christ is present with the Lord, and they're there together cheering on the work of Christ on earth. They're there. That's just what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus taught. That's Christ-likeness. That is holding on to the doctrines of Christ. Now, he gives a little more insight into what that is, too. In verse 20, he says, and he, God, shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Wait a minute. He's going to send him back? That's what the Bible's saying. That's what Peter is preaching here. He came as a sacrificial lamb, and he came to fulfill Old Testament. He came to pay your sin debt. He came as God living in man's flesh, to provide a sacrifice that would enable him to die for the sins of the world and give you forgiveness when the time is needed and allow you to enter into heaven without sin, as being cleansed, as being forgiven. He's going to come back. Amen. Peter's saying, you crucified him, yes, but he did resurrect. And he did ascend into heaven, but he says, and he shall send Jesus Christ. So this time of refreshing is also connected to Jesus coming back. Now, he's going to come back to the earth. That's not the rapture. The rapture takes place when we leave the earth. The rapture is going to take place when Jesus calls his bride home, when he calls the church up to meet with him in the air. He hasn't come back in the rapture, so that means that this is after the rapture. He's going to call the church home. He's going to rapture. I guarantee you there's no one that knows the Bible that does not believe that what is taking place in the world today is directly connected to the rapture of the church. Whether it's going to be soon or whether it's going to be another 10, 20 years, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying what's happened this year has better prepared the church for the rapture. We've learned a lot of things, and we're continuing to learn a lot of things, not just about the virus, but we're learning a lot of things about Christianity. We're learning a lot of things about our faith. There's some that as long as everything is going exactly the way you want it to go, then you're going to be a Sunday morning Christian, and you're wanting to do what's right when it's convenient. But when you go through some things that are very hard to understand, very difficult to deal with, you just increase your faith and stay focused on Christ. Can I tell you, it'll get worse before the church is raptured out. Now, we're not going to go into the tribulation. If you understand the Bible and you know the Bible, the church will be raptured out before the tribulation. But we have to get to the place where the tribulation is going to take place. People think they want a world without true Christianity. It's almost as foolish as thinking we want a society without law enforcement. Be careful for what you wish for. You get rid of the police department, you get rid of the enforcement of the law, and you'll find what kind of a sin nature humanity truly has. Yeah. You get rid of the church, the true church, the teaching, the preaching of the Word of God from society. Yeah, you'll see what the human nature truly has. Wow. So here we find that Jesus is coming back. Every born-again believer ought to be strengthened by that and ought to say, hallelujah, rejoice, because I know he's going to rapture the church. Because that's part of the fulfillment of prophecy. Because after the rapture comes the tribulation. After the tribulation comes what he's talking about. Jesus coming back to the earth with his bride, the church. Yeah. Verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things. Heaven must receive, because that's where Jesus is at now. When he ascended back from the earth, he went back to glory. He went back to where he came in the first place. He came from heaven as a sacrificial lamb. He did the part that God had called him to do, the part that was able to bring humanity back to God through the sacrifice that Jesus would make. The blood sacrifice that Jesus made some 2,000 years ago enables us to have a relationship with God once again. And after he accomplished that, and he established his church, and he prepared the apostles to go through this apostolic age, he ascended back to heaven. And the Bible says he ascended back to heaven, ever living to make intercession for believers. Been doing that for some 2,000 years. Whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution. Restitution is going to take place after the rapture, during the tribulation. Yeah. And then into the millennial reign of Christ, which is what Peter is preparing them, getting them ready to understand, putting all this together. He's in heaven, but he's in heaven at the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. Because the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Amen. A mediator, that means the only thing that can allow you to get to the Father in heaven is through the Son. He's that mediator between God and man. You can't get to the Father outside of you go through the Son. But once you believe in the Son and he blots out your sins, when your time comes, whether you die before the rapture and your life on this earth is over, then praise the Lord, because of Jesus blotting out your sins and you die in Christ, and you go immediately to be in the presence of God the Father through the Son. Or when you are raptured up. Amen. If we're alive and remain and we get raptured up, then we are going to go through the Son in the presence of God the Father in heaven in glory. Amen. I mean, these types of things is what we need to stay focused on. Don't let fear control what you think about. You ever want to rejoice in the Lord? Start going back and studying what the Bible teaches, what we have to look forward to. Yeah. That's what Peter's doing. He's going back, and heaven must receive him until restitution, when all things will be made right. Restitution is making right something that you've wronged. God is going to make right everything that has been wronged. It's also, that word could also be looked at as restoration, because the restitution is going to restore humanity to what God originally wanted for humanity. And that is the millennial reign of Christ. Everything he's referring to here is of the kingdom age. They knew this to be the kingdom age in the Old Testament. And they believed that during the kingdom age that the Christ, the Messiah, would rule and reign the earth. Now, they were confused when he first came. They thought he was the Messiah, but he was supposed to come to rule and reign the earth with them. But they did not understand the New Testament church age, which was prophesied, which was, as we looked and read this, as Peter said, had been prophesied by all the prophets. If you had just opened your eyes and if you had listened to what Jesus said, you could have connected the two. Yeah. The kingdom age is the millennial reign of Christ, when all righteousness and holiness will be restored to the earth, as it once was in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, it was the way that God designed it before sin. The way God designed it, when he created man and woman, he placed them in the garden, and the garden, with his instructions, was of righteousness and holiness and the worship, the true worship of God. And they were to multiply. Before sin entered the picture, God created them in a way that they could multiply, and that was God's will for humanity. When God created humanity, placed them on earth, it would have been like the Garden of Eden before Adam's sin. After his sin entered the wicked human nature, which is after the nature of Lucifer himself, which led to all of the sin and the evil on earth and in the society. But in the millennial reign, restitution for humanity will be made, and restoration of what God's original plan was. Because Christ, on his throne on the earth, will rule and reign in righteousness. Romans chapter 20, look there with me. It's all right to get excited. It's all right to say amen. It's all right. I mean, come on, this is good stuff right here. You stop and think about this, it'll put a smile on your face, no matter what is going on. This is reality, this is truth. And it's closer now than it's ever been. Revelations in chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now, Jesus is on the main throne, but the church, the bride of Christ, will rule and reign with him. Now, I don't have time to go into all the details of the millennial reign, but this is what Peter is talking about when he is addressing them in Acts chapter 3. They sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. That's going to be restituted. That is going to be dealt with as it needs to be dealt with. Because they're going to be blessed And those that took their heads off and persecuted them the way they did are going to spend eternity in the devil's hell. That's what it's talking about. Those were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Millennium is 1,000 years. So they reigned with Christ 1,000 years, a millennial reign. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death, amen, hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now go back to Acts chapter 3, verses 19 down to verse 21, that's what Peter was presenting to them, and that's what God has preserved for us to read, to understand that we do have that to look forward to. It's real. Yeah. The millennial reign was being presented to unbelieving Jews by Peter. Verse 22 and verse 23. Today, he wanted them to know that all, even the Jews, would have to repent and be converted to be a part of this. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you. Now, that prophet right there, that is the prophet Messiah. If we go back and we study the teachings of Moses, and what he is referring to here is what Moses was presenting concerning the Messiah that would come. The prophet Messiah that would come, because he came with a prophecy. He came with a truth that people needed to hear. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Of your brethren, he's going to come from the seed of Abraham, from the seed of David, which was of the seed of Abraham, which would mean a Jew. That's what he's saying right here. Will God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, somewhat like the deliverer Moses was, only so much greater. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. Listen to me. He was preparing the Old Testament. He was preparing the Jews of the New Testament, as well as everyone else, that whatever Jesus Christ brought to us, we need to listen to what he taught. Amen. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear. So you got two types of people here. Not Jews and Gentiles. You got two types of people here. Those that will hear and those who will not hear. Those who will believe in the words of Christ and those who will reject the words of Christ. So those that are antichrist and those that are wanting to be Christ-like in living out what they have been taught by him. So, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, the Messiah, which was Christ, shall be destroyed from amongst the people. Moses had prepared them for the coming of the prophet Messiah. And all who will not hear, even a Jew, will perish into everlasting torment. They will be separated from those that do hear and do believe and do receive the salvation that Jesus offers. Can I tell you that not everyone will believe? If we study the scriptures, Jesus taught that. It's a straight and narrow. And there's going to be so much confusion on earth concerning what it takes to go to heaven. So many different philosophies, whether it be humanistic philosophy or religious philosophies, but it will be divided by the words of Christ. The division is Christ. And those that are going to go to heaven when you die are those who have believed and looked to Jesus Christ. And those who have rejected Jesus as being the Savior, the Messiah, no matter if they are Jew or not, will die and be separated into a place of everlasting torment. It's to the place, even as we study in the book of Acts, that even the Apostle Paul would turn his attention away from the Jews who rejected Christ unto the Gentiles who would receive Christ. Acts in chapter 28. Actually, look there with me. I think Paul presents it here in a very clear way for us. At the end of the book of the Acts here, we find the Bible records what we have from the Apostle Paul. And he says in chapter 28, verse 25, "And when they agreed not among themselves on what they believed in Christ and who they thought Paul was and all that, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto your fathers." The Old Testament prophet, Paul spoke by him. And he said this is what was prophesied about this particular event. "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with the ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." You believe, you repent, and you're converted. You don't believe, you're never going to repent, and you will not be converted. "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." Can I tell you that it was sent, first of all, to the Jews? It was always God's plan to open it up to the Gentiles, to the whole world. But the ones that had the first opportunity to receive the Messiah was the Jews. Go back and we're closing with this, but that's what Peter ends this message with. In chapter 3 and verse 24. "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." He said it's clear in the Old Testament. If you would just open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart to receiving it. "Ye are the children of the prophets," talking to the Jews, "and of the covenant which God made with our fathers," Old Testament covenant, "which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you." So unto you first. The Jews, Abraham's seed, received this covenant with God, the Abrahamic covenant with God concerning his blessings. And the Jews now that lived on the earth some 2,000 years ago that Peter is preaching to, that had just crucified the Messiah, He's telling them, even though you're part of the Abrahamic covenant, if you don't believe in this man, if you don't receive Jesus, repent and be converted, you're going to die and go to hell. Just because you're a Jew does not mean that you have heaven. It still is going to be based on your belief in Jesus Christ. In this New Testament church age, it's the same. Jews, Gentiles, everyone, anyone who is going to go to heaven must receive Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, the saints received him by believing in the coming of the Messiah. They had faith that the Messiah would come. And so as long as they lived according to what God gave them, the law, and they looked to the coming of the Messiah, which prepared humanity for Christ's coming, they are saved because they believed in the coming of the Messiah. But it was faith. But Jesus came, and now this apostolic age, all this transitional time, and he first of all wanted to give the Jews opportunity to receive the Messiah first. They would have first opportunity. Romans in chapter 9. Romans in chapter 9. Almost done. So follow with me here. This is good basic stuff that you need to know and be strengthened by. Romans in chapter 1, first of all, and then we'll jump to chapter 9 there. But Romans chapter 1, let me read to you verse 16. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth," everyone that believeth, but then he says, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. The ones that should have been saved first would have been those that have the history of the Messiah. Chapter 9. The Bible says here, Paul writes, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, the Jews, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants." This is all the opportunities they had. The Jews had all of this given to them if they would have just followed the teachings of Christ, followed the scriptures, the prophets, to whom pertaineth the adoption of the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the services of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Christ came as a Jew. Now, sometimes we lose sight of that. Jesus came from the seed line of the Jewish race. Listen to me. Jesus wasn't white, and Jesus was not black. Jesus was a Jew. I think we need to kind of get things focused together. And under Christ, we're all the same. God loves every one of us the same. But the Jews had the greatest opportunity because Jesus came as a Jew. And the Jews were God's chosen people to bring forth the Messiah. If anyone has privileges. We got the privilege of God. But when Christ came, he presented it. For God so loved the world. That's all humanity. We need to get back to Christ, which will unite everybody of every race. Yeah. Chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire. After Paul wrote this, he says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel. For Israel is that they might be saved. Can I tell you the Jews need to be saved? New Testament Jews need to be saved the same way that Gentiles get saved. They have to believe and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's all about Jesus Christ. How we need to unite under the teachings of Christ. What the world needs today, and there's so much chaos going on all around us with the fears and the fightings and everything else. What the world needs today is to unite under the teachings of Christ. Here's this truth. In closing here. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. Christ is a blessing to anyone that receives him. Christ is a blessing to anybody that understands who he is. Christ is a blessing to anybody who will continue to hear him. They were blessed until they stopped listening and believing. They were blessed in that they welcomed him as the Messiah. They were blessed when they were listening to him and he was performing miracles and healing them of all sorts of infirmities, of all sorts of demonic activity. And he was feeding them and he was raising the dead. Can I tell you, he came, and as long as they were listening to him and they were believing in him, they were blessed. Until they stopped. Send him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. They turned away from their sin and they listened to live as he would have them to live until they stopped. And when they stopped listening and stopped believing, they rejected Christ and had him crucified. That's Peter's message. Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing as a Christian nation? We're looking to everything but the Word of God. We're listening to everything but the words of Christ. We're following after all the different ones with different philosophies. If we would just look to Christ, listen to him, and act accordingly to him, we can have blessings. I'm afraid that we've stopped believing. We've stopped listening. As a church, we have the first opportunities. As a Christian, raised in a Christian home, listen to me. You have more accountability to somebody that was not raised in church, not raised to understand the Bible, not raised to know who Jesus was and is. Let's make sure that we are hearing, looking to him, listening to him, and adjusting our lives according to him. If I could have our head bowed and every eye closed tonight. That was Peter's message to the Jews. It's God's message. It's preserved for us today. He's a blessing. He was sent to be a blessing, and he will always be a blessing to those that believe in him and follow after him. Never stop believing. Never stop following his lead. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you. Thank you for the truth of this passage of scripture that we've just read and studied. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as Peter wanted to help these Jews, as Paul wanted to help the Jews first. We all can turn to you and receive the help that you have for us. Pray that you would just bless in our understanding and our application of this message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.